about an adventure that Elisha had. It's not Elijah, it's Elisha. Now, next to the country of Israel, one of the neighbors was Aram. And the king of Aram was at war with Israel, and he kept trying to ambush, like, the nation of Israel's trade caravans. But Elisha kept telling the king all about it. Don't go by way of Cooper Hollow today, because he's going to ambush you there. Go, you know, by way of Mama Cut Off or something. You know, and this got the king of Aram really, really mad, because he kept being foiled in his plots to get rich off of the nation of Israel. He said, "Who is the spy who's ready to kill somebody in his little, you know, council meeting?" And someone spoke up and said, "None of us is the spy. There's this prophet of God named Elisha, and he tells the king of Israel the secret things you say in your bedroom." And so the king said, "All right, find out where that guy lives, and we're going to go get him." Word came back. Prophet Elisha was living in Dothan at the time, and so he said, "Okay, army, it's nighttime, be quiet, surround that city of Dothan." And so they marched out there at night. Come dawn, Elijah's servant was out, and he looks around, and the town is totally surrounded by an army. And he's scared to death. Then he comes to his master and says, "You know, something like, we're going to be killed." And Elijah said, "It's okay. It's okay." And Elisha prayed that God would open his servant's eyes. And when God did that, Elisha's servant saw that around outside of the circle of that one army was an army of angels. It was a bigger army. And then those angels attacked. They didn't kill anybody. It's really interesting. They struck them all with blindness. You know, that would kind of take the fight out of the enemy army. And they gathered them all together. And then they marched them 10 miles down the road. So they're in the middle of Samaria, the nation of Israel's capital. And then Elisha prayed, and God opened their eyes, and they're kind of, "Oh, it is scary." And it'd be real scary, because the king of Israel said, "Elisha, shall I kill them all?" And Elisha said, "No. Feed them and send them on their way." And that's what they did. They had a big feast, they sent them on their way. Then do you think, if you wanted to attack a neighbor and you found out they had a God that was helping them, a whole bunch like that, make all your people blind, and then for a while like send them home, do you think that would scare you from attacking them again? What? Might be afraid they'd die if they attacked again. Yeah. You could make them blind again if they'd never leave them that way. And for some time, the king of Aram didn't bother with Israel anymore. Let's see. You go through life and things look scary to you, like that army was scary to Elijah's servant. I want you to not be so afraid to think about asking God to show you what He's doing to help you. And you might be surprised and you might be blessed when circumstances reveal how God is working to help you out. Let's pray. Father, I pray for these children and everyone here that when scary things happen, we would pray not only for your help, but we pray that you'd help us see what you're doing so that we can be at peace in the midst of our enemies, in the midst of trouble. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
You're welcome.
Sure, they don't want the plunge your thing in their mouth with a warming pill every spring or whatever. But he gives them what they need, and he protects them. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Sometimes a shepherd has even been known to break the leg of a sheep. Not just any old sheep, but a sheep that was way too prone to wandering off and getting into trouble.
Don't break my leg, Dave.
That's true. You've wandered off a few times. No, but I...
You just gave me an idea.
I won't do that. But after breaking the sheep's leg, then would nurse them back to health, and they're stuck there. They learn to be a bit more dependent on the shepherd, and which is why it's done. We could also say, instead of God is my shepherd, we could say, God is my coach. God is my personal trainer. And because he wants to make a positive difference in our lives, that we wouldn't or couldn't make on our own. You know, I joined lots of things long enough to get an idea what they were like, and then I quit. So I joined the police cadets up at the Venice Police Department. And if I had stayed with them longer, I could have gone with the cops to the L.A. airport and been part of operations. Yeah, I think they're coming in with drugs on me. Or, yeah, they're breaking into cars in this area and stuff. But I was with them long enough to go to one of their exercise nights. And you would be surprised how many more sit-ups, how many more push-ups you can do when someone's coming around, walking around you, and goes, bam, with a baton on the mat beside you. I know the next day, I wasn't sure I could get out of bed. I had exercised so much that day. You know, a coach, a personal trainer, can get more out of us than we could on our own. And why make changes? Well, changes that Christ would like to make in our life so we can live the best life and enjoy life in him all the more. And then there's also for the future. It says, I lack nothing, or I shall not want. You know, in one sense, there are many, many things I want. A better wood leg. Many things. But when it comes to what I really need, I'm not in want. God takes care of my needs. He promises to take care of our needs. He makes me lie down. Do you remember the fourth commandment? I have to confess, I had to look it up, which one it was. But remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your sons or daughters, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor your nor any foreigners residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that was in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Mark records Jesus saying that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God, as our creator, kind of knows how we're made and how we need a Sabbath. He commands it. And if we don't follow that, if we just burn the candle at both ends 7 days a week, 24/7, we usually get God's time out in the form of illness or accident and injury. So it's no wonder that David said about God, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And thank goodness they're green, lush green pastures, a good restful place. He leads me beside still waters. Now growing up, we would go twice every summer water skiing, but we almost never were it's tragic when you hear about, you know, it's wintertime, rivers are raging, and people are down watching the flooded waters, and then some of the bank gives way, and some people are just lost. You know, that fast. One time, my mom's group, Ski Club Alpine, they would go to Baja, California, skin diving. And one trip was a bust. So we went down to Baja, California. That's when everybody had the time to go down there and had made the time. And there was a storm out at sea, and we couldn't hardly get in the water to do any skin diving. And then one day, all of us are down on these big rocks towards the tide pool, and we're watching, wow, the big splashes and waves and stuff. And all of a sudden, somebody yells, you know, get out of there, because a much bigger wave was coming. I know I took off running, and I passed Willie. Willie was, my mom had a boyfriend for a good number of years. She didn't marry Jack until after I was out of the house. And Willie was Jack's son. And Jack saw that Willie wasn't going to get out of the splash zone in time. And so Jack, this is Baja California. Jack is in his Adidas and his bathing suit, and he ran. I'm running up. He ran the other way. And he tackled Willie, and he held on for dear life because he got there just before the wave. And man, it really whoosh over them. And it was lucky that they lived. And Jack was rather bruised and cut up, as you can imagine, the rocks of the sea. But he rescued his son that day. All right. Let's see. So God doesn't lead us to places like that. He leads us to quiet waters. And if you can imagine a sheep is not exactly a sleek, good swimmer like a seal or something. I think a wet, soggy sheep is in pretty bad shape if it's not very still water to get out. It's going to drown. As God makes me rest, as he leads me to quiet waters, I can be at peace. You can be at peace. He restores our soul. He guides us. He doesn't guide us usually across town or across deserts, but God of the universe guides us in paths of righteousness. That is, he guides us in how to live our best lives for him. He guides us with his word. He guides us with his Holy Spirit, convicting us in our hearts. He guides us with wise counsel from our friends. And if we are listening, are we listening to him now? Then why does he do all this guiding? But he says, for his name's sake. When our lives bring glory to God, that's when we're receiving the biggest blessings in our life. So the best thing to do is to bring glory to God as he pours out his blessings on you and me. Amen?
Amen.
The shadow of death. If you are following the Good Shepherd and he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death, that doesn't mean that you're living wildly and making bad choices. Live wildly, make bad choices. The shadow of death may visit you too. But even following the Good Shepherd, he can take you through dark times that you really would rather not go through. why would he take us through those dark valleys? Well, for one thing, I think just about all of us can say that, man, I grew the most during that difficult, that dark time. And the thing about going through dark times is the blessing afterwards as well. Imagine driving in the mountains on, you know, one car road, and it's kind of dangerous, and you know, it's a long path, but then you arrive at a great place. You know, it's a mountain cabin and nobody else is there, beautiful lake and stuff. Many of our dark times do not lead to death, but even when the valley is the valley of our death, that leads to eternal life with Jesus. So, what's there to fear? What's there to be afraid of? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The rod and the staff, I had to look up, what's the difference between rod and staff? You know, they're always just kind of plucked together. Well, the rod is pretty much like a club, a good, solid piece of wood that you could hit things with and fight them off, like taking a baseball bat that would even things up a little, you know, if a coyote is attacking you or something. Baseball bat would really help. But then the staff and the rod also represented a sign of authority in a family, a tribe, a nation. And then the staff was thinner and longer and crooked upon you. So, you know, you often see pictures of a sheep. This sheep or lamb is partially fallen down a cliff and an eagle is coming to get it. And the shepherd is there with his crook trying to get that hook part on something solid and pull down and pull back. I think more of, you know, like a dumb sheep gets stuck in a briar patch and can't get out. But, you know, shepherd can reach in there, get that crook solidly around the sheep and just yank it out of the briars. It won't feel good, although it might not feel much in anything with all that fleece if they haven't been cut lately. So, knowing that God has the rod, he has the power to defend me. Knowing that God has the power, has the staff, and he has the power to rescue me. That's a comfortable thought. He has the power to defend and rescue you as well. Notice that in this little psalm, it changed from he, to you. You, O Lord, you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. And our talk about God needs to go from theology of, you know, well, God is like this and he does this and that to talking to God in prayer. It's important. You prepare a table for me. The verse 5, isn't that amazing? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And that reminds me of what the story I told the children. How you, it's a different situation, but there in the midst, you know, with enemies all around, perfectly safe to eat your breakfast, whatever. Because of God's arms. Here, an enemy wants to crush us. And they are defeated by God. We eat in safety and peace. Wow, they're frustrated. You know, anointed with oil. Who gets anointed with oil? Have any of you been anointed with oil? Oh, right. A few. Is that church related?
Yeah.
Well, kings get anointed with oil, and high priests do, and important people do. But it says, you know, God anointed my head with oil. It's talking about getting royal treatment and being signified as important. Then the midwinter retreat, the main speaker had a friend get up with a glass of water, and then he purposely came over and bumped him so the water would spill. Well, you know, when you get bumped, whatever you're full of is what spills out. If you're full of love and joy and peace, well, that's what spills out when you get bumped. If you're full of yourself, that's what spills out. Or as someone said, a wooden bowl is useless as long as it's full of itself. Not been carved out. Now, if you are full of yourself, that's about as useful as a wooden bowl full of wood, not hollowed out. Goodness and mercy. What about goodness and mercy following us? You can think of that as goodness and mercy just lagging behind. I keep moving too fast. Goodness and mercy is just following me. But I think a better understanding is goodness and mercy are always pursuing us, probably catching up with us often. Like something good we can never really get away from. The final prize when we walk through that last lonesome valley is I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that is what's available if we let the Lord be our shepherd. There's no doubt our lives will have dark valleys to pass through. But we don't have to go through them alone. And we don't have to let it defeat us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this little psalm and the comfort you've given many from the words here. Help us to always keep you as our shepherd and to follow you as our guide, to look to you for protection, for rescuing, help us to know that when we walk through those dark valleys, that won't be the end of it. But if it's the end of our days, that we can spend eternity joyfully with you. Dismiss us now in your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So, council meeting. 5-10 minutes.
Oh, that was great. Did you ever tell that joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I wanted to sit here and pop you guys' hair things. That's what Jake is like, unless you use little pops of hair. Ladies, have a good
day. There are little dollops of daisy.
Little dollops of daisy up in there. See, when you say that, I think we're so clean.
Yeah.
Neighbor knows. Your neighbors know.
Yeah. You're Leslie, a dollop of daisy reminds him of sour cream.
Well, yeah, see the commercial? That's where it's from.
Yeah.
Do you not know?
I do.
How you doing?
I'm just slow today.
Oh.
Oh, it means I should buy some, huh?
Did you see what happened? It was like $63 a share, and it went down to like $27.
What's it at right now?
I don't know.
Maybe I should buy more.
I bought some more. I got rid of my crypto. I don't have cryptos and bust right now, so I dumped my crypto and put it in the phone.
I'm hesitant to hang up the TV. Because I was about to tell Jack, so I'm painting. We ain't got the paint yet.
Good, okay. You'll be an expert, so when I want to hang my TV up, when I'm all done.
Did you buy the paint?
I can hang it up.
No.
I've hung up like 5 or 6 TVs in the last year at least.
I want to revisit putting ours by the fireplace again. But the only thing is, there's a chimney back there, so we're a little bit worried. We don't. It's just the insert, but we don't know about the heat, so we have to find out if that's legitimately going to work or not, because the pellet stove is underneath. But the thing is, pellet stove.
How'd the cabinet look?
Good. Right.
Okay. Does it need another coat? Or the good?
I don't think it needs another coat, but just kind of like on the edges on some of the doors.
Like the inside edge?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do the inside edge so I could, you know, move them.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. But, and then, so all the
I don't understand how to read this.
The washer and dryer.
I know how to read
it. And the fridge.
Hold on, let me go get my
here.
We did the wall, but not the trim.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
But I'm telling her,
so, this is what you have invested.
Maybe like where the cabinet is over there.
I've invested over $20.
That part reads physical.
Are you, oh, you're right on, bro.
The back?
Yeah,
no, it's right here.
I wouldn't worry about the back either because the dust and the light.
So this is the number of the stock.
Degrade.
So right now it's $27.50.
Right.
It's a whole share?
Yeah, that's one share.
Paint back there.
That's what that means. And the up on the top is today's price.
Oh, yeah.
But remember, the office closes on the weekends. The after hours is
away. I mean, I suppose I could start close for it, too.
Hold on, let me go get mine.
Okay, because I put in 20...
We lost money last week.
Okay.
So, hold on, I'll show you. Yeah, probably good. Okay,
because when I bought in, I only bought like a half a share. So I want to buy more though right now, right? Jason is telling me no.
So here's mine. So that's my total investment. Okay. So here's my stock. Right? And then if you click on rows, so that's the amount of the stock, and that's how much I have. At one point, I had 65. Looking at what the price is. That's how much I have.
My Coinbase.
Yeah. I got rid of all my crypto except for, I don't have Coinbase. Except for this one, because I like the name.
Yeah.
It's the only one I kept. Now, those you can sell and buy after hours, and they don't sell. And so you can see, like, see, we have $8. It was 10. Crypto, it's
like
5. It, like, tanked.
$200 at one point, now it's only 40.
So I decided, you know what, I'm getting all my money out of crypto, and I'm going to put it in here. And so I dumped a bunch of the rows, and then all of a sudden,
crypto dropped all week.
My GameStop just took off. Side of the building. I $10 now. So I dumped a bunch of money into it because
you're a little cowboy.
We're talking about going down to $3,000. It was like 64. That's a good thing. I bought it.
All right, baby.
So Carvana. Mm-hmm. That's
a car thing.
Yeah, so GameStop, Carvana, AMC.
I really want to. I need to do something with the computer.
They're like play stocks, kind of.
Hey, Mommy.
Get him, Ryan.
Hey, Mom.
Player one.
We're going to talk about how that.
What?
I was kind of
just a second.
That.
I'm trying to get my stuff together, but you're bugging me.
So when we did the Dutch Brothers, I just grabbed that. So it's been okay. Like, it doesn't fluctuate wildly. But
I've got stock in CAD, mobile equipment, like all the big stuff like that.
I had Twitter because I thought I was going to get rich. And then, so then it went like that, because you can see what happened to the guy in Tesla.
Okay, I'm trying to do something.
It's crazy how that started.
Yeah, and then I have Carvana. Carvana's not bad.
Where are my keys?
And I try to keep everything I have.
There's that bin, just bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
I keep hearing the bin.
So I don't use my computer.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people are done with it. So it won't slow you down. Oh, we got...
Because I like the name.
What?
I kept my stuff.
Oh,
but I felt like, yeah, but he could take that too because he wants to have that be tradable on Twitter.
Right.
Yeah.